Well, good morning. You guys ready for this? I hope so. I'm ready for it. Hey, if you don't know me, my name is JT, as Denny just said. I'm one of the pastors here. And so if I didn't get to meet you before service, I say this and I know a lot of new people don't stay. I would love to meet you. I'd love to find out how you ended up here, what the story is that brought you here, answer any questions that you have about our church, about Christ. We always say this is a safe place to be exactly where you are. You don't have to pretend at Freshwater. If you're doing awesome, be awesome. If you're broken, be broken. If you know Jesus is your Savior, that's praise God for that. If you're just trying to figure out who Jesus is to you, then praise God for that. You're here today. And so we want to be a place that's safe for you to work through those things and answer any questions that you have. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 4. That's kind of in the middle of your New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4. And if you don't have a Bible, you forgot your Bible, you don't own a Bible, just raise your hand and Larry's in the back. He would love to bring you one. But if you've got one on your phone or you actually have a Bible with you today, either way is fantastic. So I think it's been kind of given away by Tori and Denny. Today we're going to be talking about the vision of our church for 2018. All right, where we're going, why we're going there, what God has called us to. But before we get to that, let's talk about a few things first. Let me just start with this. For those of you who've been coming to Freshwater, does anyone think it's surprising that I love this church? Right, I love this church and I love our family so much that I can't stand it sometimes. Right, it's the truth of it. Like if you know my history, I never really wanted to be a pastor, but God called me to be a pastor, and praise God that He changes people's lives. Right, it's the joy of my life. I mean this. Some of you have heard me say this before, but God could, or not God. God's one thing. But anyone in the world could offer me any job in the world, business or pastoral. And listen, right now, it would be easy for me to turn it down. Like anything. Doesn't matter what it was, anywhere. Now, if God said to do it, I'd do it, right? But I want to die at this church. Now, some people, I don't mean like right here. I don't want to like pill over and die. But like, I'm praying that God, like when I'm 72 and I can't really preach anymore. And I hope that I have to retire because I'm just so out of touch with what's going on in the world, right? That I have to retire and let somebody else come up and lead the church. And I get to sit down and listen to someone else lead our church and be a part of it till the day I die. That's what I want. God can do whatever He wants. But that's what I want. Right? And so for those who are new today, I'm not expecting you to answer. If you're newer to Freshwater, answer like this or to think this because you haven't had time to figure it out. But I'm guessing I'm not the only person in this room that loves this church, right? Is there anybody else that really likes or loves Freshwater? Woo! Yeah, okay, I thought so. I didn't think I was alone. New people, don't feel pressure to raise your hand. So you guys love this family too. So here's what I want to do. I want you to tell me why. Like literally right now. Why do you like this church or why do you love this church? Again, new people, you got brought into this. Don't feel like you have any pressure. But if you've been coming to this church, why do you love this church? The heart of the church. Good. Why else? You hear the word of God, the gospel preached every week, right? Good. It's not just family talk. We try to actually be a real family. Anything else? Integrity. Good. The truth. Anything else? Who said what? Love. Yeah, people genuinely love each other here. Like, I love my life group. I love you all and my life group family more than I can stand it. Heart for the lost. Right? What else? It's real. It's authentic, right? We try to be authentic here. Like I said at the beginning, be wherever you are. Let's quit lying and faking it. Let's just be where we are so then we can grow from there, right? We don't have to fake it. That's dumb. It's like a dumb hobby that so many people do. Like, we attend church every week, and then we're never honest about where we are, so we never grow. That's dumb. Like, let's be real, and let's let Jesus change our lives. What else? Anything else? We're intentional. What? Did you? Like, people are learning and growing. We're intentional with Christ. We're intentional with relationships. Anything else? Do what? Discipleship. Like, we really, really try to do discipleship. What else? Teachable. Okay, let's stop there. That'll be the whole sermon, right? We don't have any more time. And listen, I love those things too. That's why I love this church so much I can't stand it, right? That's why we have a strong family, because of all of those things. But here's the church, here's the church. That is the church. Here's the truth. Not all of those things we just said are for us alone. Right? God absolutely wants to use this church to grow us, to help us to fall more in love with him, to use to mold us and shape us into the image that we were created to reflect Jesus Christ. But not God did not give us the church just for us, but so that we could share the love of Jesus Christ with the world around us. He's called us to take the gospel to every nation. And listen, he's called you to take the gospel to your backyard too, right? So today we're going to be looking at a passage in 2 Corinthians 4. And through God's word today, I want to dive deeply into why we do what we do as a church. And then have that push us into what God is calling us to. And what he's calling us to, not just as freshwater and not just as individuals, but as believers, as disciples of Christ, what is God calling us to? Because that should and can define every single thing that we do here, right? The word of God as disciples of Christ should define everything we do. Denny, will you grab my drink? My mouth's already dry. Man, I got a lot to say today. My mouth's already dry. It's below the chair. Thank you so much. So here's what we're going to do. I want to give you a little context of the passage before we jump into it today in 2 Corinthians 4. In the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul started that church. It was one of his church plants. And at this point, the Apostle Paul planted that church. It got to a healthy spot, and then he left because the Apostle Paul planted like all of the new churches in Gentile territories, right? So while Paul has been gone, false teachers have come in and have been leading these new believers astray. And what they've really been doing is they've been diluting the message of the gospel. The word in the Greek really means like when sellers of wine would sell their wine and they dilute it with water, it wasn't as strong as it was. That's kind of the concept of what they've been doing. They've been changing the word, and a lot of times for what seemed like their own gain. And so they've come in and not just challenging what the gospel is, but they've been challenging Paul personally, Paul's motives, Paul's teaching. And so Paul heard about this. And so 2 Corinthians is a letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth as a response to try to encourage them in the truth of the Bible and to assure them that the gospel is true. So guys, I want you to think about this for a second. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same, but is what's happening in the church in Corinth that different to what's happening in our culture right now all the time? Right, there is all kinds of false teaching out there, all kinds of things trying to lead us astray, and knowledge that is not God-centered, or knowledge and information that's not only not God-centered, but is anti-God, has never been more easy to access. It's everywhere all the time, because we can access now the best pastors in the world, pastors that are way better at preaching than I am. You can find on podcast, can't you? But you can also find all kinds of false information in 5 seconds if you're looking for it. Not only that, we are constantly bombarded every single day with falsehoods that are trying to lead us astray, trying to lie to us, trying to deceive us, trying to get us to give our hearts to anything except for God and the truth in his word. It's every day. It's all the time. It's everywhere. Guys, it's even in so many of our churches, isn't it? There are so many great churches out there, right? Freshwater's not like the greatest church, right? We're just a church that's doing what God's called us to do. There's lots of great churches, but there's also a lot of churches out there that have absolutely diluted the gospel to try to make church more attractive to people. Just like with the false teaching was happening there, it was leading all these people astray. They're trying to make it easier to swallow. So if you're trying to make it easier to swallow, why would we talk about things like sin and wrath and hell? You know, those things that the Bible talks about all the time, that we need to repent of so that we can find Jesus Christ. Yeah, those things are being diluted in the church right now. So really, what's going on in Corinth, the context may be a little bit different, but it's not that different. We see it right now all the time. Also at this time at the church in Corinth, there was heavy persecution for the new Christians, right? Because they were believers in Christ, there was heavy persecution from all kinds of different factions, and they were actually significantly suffering. And so Paul's writing this letter not only to encourage them in the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word and who Jesus Christ is, but also to encourage them to keep pushing forward in their faith because God is faithful to them, that he loves them, and he's not forsaken them. So that's the context of what we're picking up in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. So sorry, I got to stop already. Because I've said this before, I know it's kind of cheesy, but it'll help you remember. Whenever you get to a therefore in the Bible, you have to see what it's there for. Because he's saying, because of what I said in chapter 3 or 2 or 1, this next part is true. So without the context of chapter 3, specifically here, chapter 3, we can't really understand what he's saying because Paul talks about this ministry in chapter 4. So what's this ministry he's talking about? He's talking about the ministry we have in the new covenant of Jesus Christ.
that in the Old Testament you had to rely on the law and sacrifices to make you righteous before God, to justify you, but you don't have to do that anymore. And not only do you not have to do the laws anymore because Jesus Christ was your sacrifice on the cross, but because he made you righteous, you now have God within you. Like the Holy Spirit is renewing you and changing you and making you more in the likeness that you were created in. So you can have confidence, you can have hope that your God is with you. Look to the cross at what God was willing to do with you and trust that God is inside of you, guiding you, with you, changing you, even through all the suffering, even through all the hardship, even through all the false teaching, your God is with you. He's guiding you. He's for you. He's transforming you in the likeness of Jesus Christ for the sake of his glory and for the sake of your redemption. And take hope in the fact that God is, when you die, will raise you from the dead and give you eternity with him in glory. That's what he's saying. That's your ministry. That's who you are, and that's the ministry that you have. So take heart. Take heart. Okay, let's pick it back up in verse 1 again. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, so remember that false teachers have been trying to lead people astray by diluting the message of the gospel, and a lot of times they were doing it for their own gain. What many teachers are doing right now in churches right now, they're diluting the gospel for their own gain. So Paul is saying to them, listen, I didn't come to you with my own cunning. I didn't try to be clever. I didn't try to give you some fancy message. I just gave you Jesus. I just gave you the word of God because only the word of God is sufficient. That's all I brought. Church, is that not exactly what we at least try to do here? Right? Why we preach through books of the Bible instead of coming up with a new series? Series are fine. We have series in between our books of the Bible, but we want to preach the word of God. Even when I'm talking about vision today, for where we're going the next year, we're going to spend most of the time in the Word of God today. Because I say this all the time. The day that you feel like me or some of the other pastors start preaching to attract people to this church, like that's you feel like that's our primary goal, or the day that we start diluting the message of the gospel so it's easier for people to take in and so everybody will leave feeling good every single week, is the day that you need to fire me or leave this church. Because in the end, I am a sinful man who will say the wrong thing sometimes, and in the long run, no one's gonna care about my words in the long run. Like a couple generations from now, no one's gonna remember me, no one's gonna care. What I said will not matter at all, but the word of God will stand forever. The word of God is powerful, the word of God is inspired, and the word of God is unstoppable. We preach the word of God here. Who cares about anything else? In the long run, that's what's going to stand, and that's exactly what Paul is saying. He's like, this is the truth I planted this church on. This is the truth that you were raised up in, the word of God. Not what Paul says, what Jesus Christ says, what the word of God says. He says, it was never about me. It was always about Jesus Christ. It was always about the word. Look at verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is that not beautiful? Is that not beautiful? Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we preach Jesus literally every single week at this church? Well, Paul said it right there. Paul made it clear because Jesus is the light of the glory of God. He is the image of God. In his face is found the glory of God. And in him and through him, people are brought out of darkness into the light. That's it. Church, there are blind people all around us, every day. Every day, everywhere we go, we're surrounded by people who are blind. And listen, guys, the passage here, the Apostle Paul, God through the Apostle Paul makes it clear that they are blind because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded them to the truth of the gospel. They're blind. Church, we're at war And I know that seems like a Christian cliche, and it's like, oh, brother, we're at war. But we're at war with an enemy that is effective and an enemy that has enthralled people so they don't even know that they're blind. Satan is using sex and money and power and lust and entertainment and busyness and distraction and depression and fear and anxiety and selfishness and sin to keep everyone blind around us. And here's the thing. He's doing it while convincing them that they see perfectly. The world around us is blind, and Satan is doing an amazing job of convincing them that they see perfectly. They're trapped in darkness, and they can't even see it. While we're up against an enemy that is way more powerful than us, too strong for us, too smart for us to defeat. So what do? We know the answer, right? We shine the light of Jesus Christ. We shine the light of Christ's radiance, which is the glory of God, to burn away the disease that is keeping them blind. And I know we live in a cynical world now. So when I say shine the light of Jesus Christ, right, that sounds like a Christian cliche, and a lot of us roll our eyes like, oh, shine the light of Christ. Hey, listen, church, don't you dare give in to the cynical attitude of this generation of where we are in the world right now. Nothing can be cool for very long, can it? Because one month it's the thing, and then the next month everybody rolls their eyes at it like, oh, everybody loves that. Everybody thinks that's great. And so everybody is cynical. That's the thing to do. Don't let cynicism infect your faith, church. Right here, God is making it clear to us that our role is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to shine the light of Jesus Christ, to be radiant examples in this world, to pull people out of the darkness and into the light. And into the light. Because church, every one of us in this room have friends and family and coworkers who are struggling in this life right now, don't we? And I think most of us, maybe not all of us, because we're where we are today, but most of us want to encourage those people. We want to lift them up. We want to give them some hope. We want to give them some wisdom, some encouragement. We want to help them out, to pull them out of whatever they're going through. And listen, church, that's a really good thing. We should be people that long to do that. But I think so often we forget, or we're afraid to give them the actual cure to their blindness. Like, it doesn't come out of our mouth. We don't give them the actual cure. Christian, you are ill-equipped to win this battle against your enemy. He is too powerful. He is too cunning. But the good news of the gospel is that everything you will ever need to not only win the battles, but to win the war has been given to you already. As Matthew 28 says, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Christ has given you his authority. He has given you his power. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So go out and fight. The only cure to the blindness is inside of you. It's already been prepared. So go out and fight, because it's the cross of Christ that wins these battles. It's the cross of Christ that wins this war. It's the cross of Christ that cures this disease. By his wounds, we are healed. Right? By his wounds, we are healed. That is at the heart. That is at the forefront. That is at the center of everything that we do as a church and everything we do as disciples of Christ. It has to be. It has to be. Read verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, listen, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Church, as the gospel transforms us, as the truth that we are able to come into God's own presence because of the cleansing power of the cross and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as our hope grows with the knowledge that in the end we're going to be raised from death into life, into an eternal heaven with God where we're going to reign with Jesus Christ, and as that transforms us, we have to share that truth with other people. It should compel us to share that grace and that truth with more and more and more people. Because as people are saved, as they're saved, as they become a part of God's family, as they're transformed in the likeness of Christ, listen, thanksgiving and thankfulness grows. Thanksgiving grows. That's what changes people's perception on life. If people are hopeless and they're lost and they don't know what they need and they don't know how to change and they don't know where to go and they've just given up, our good advice is not the answer. The radiance of God's glory is the answer. And as more and more people saved, as they're transformed by the community of God, that will create thanksgiving among them. That'll create thanksgiving among their neighbors. That, listen, church, that's what transforms communities. Not, listen, it's not our good programs, and it's not neighbors helping neighbors, and it's not community events, and all those things are awesome things that we should do, but it's the cross of Christ. It's the transforming power of the gospel. It's the radiance of the glory of God that really changes these things, that really changes communities. Because our mission statement, if you haven't been coming here, our mission statement is glorify God and advance the gospel. Listen, give your whole life. Listen, learn to give every part of your life for the glory of God. And as he transforms your life into the likeness of his son, you should and will be compelled to leave these walls and advance the only cure that is out there for what is blinding the masses, the radiance of God's glory, Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. That's why we exist. Now, I said at the beginning that this sermon was about our vision for 2018. So some of you might be thinking, when are we actually getting there? When are you actually going to talk about it? You're 20 minutes in. Well, the truth is, I just did. Right, I'm going to get into more details about it here in a second, but I just did. What God just taught us in this passage is going to be our focus for this year. Learning and growing and getting much more bold and sharing the light and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, our focus this year is going to be heavily on evangelism. And a lot of baggage is brought into evangelism this year, so let's talk about this. Because you know what, guys, 2017 was an amazing year for Freshwater, wasn't it? It really was. We saw people saved. We saw tons of people baptized. Our relationship with the city, with nonprofit organizations, with other organizations, with leaders all over the city grew. With other churches, it grew. We have two new partner churches that are partnering in Tom Watkins' neighborhood, following our lead for Williams Elementary and the people here in Tom Watkins' neighborhood. Our relationship with the staff of Williams Elementary grew by leaps and bounds this year. We saw a ton of kids, not just from our church, but we helped get the Lunch Buddy program started at Williams, and now tons of kids have been adopted into the Lunch Buddy program and have people mentoring them. We saw people in this church, listen, give thousands of man hours volunteering in this city this year. Thousands of man hours volunteering to try to make our city a better place to live. And that doesn't even take into account the incredible amount of spiritual growth we saw within our life groups and discipleship and everything else that we've done this year. Church, you give so much of yourselves to the mission that God gave us. It's a beautiful thing to see. I could go on and on and on. Thank you for your hearts to see people change, to see lives change, to see our city change, particularly in the neighborhood, Tom Watkins' neighborhood that God called us to. It's been an unbelievably great year. And with all that said, here's where I think we are as a church family. I think we've gotten pretty good at building partnerships in our city. I think we've got pretty good about doing community events that are effective and doing things with the school that let the school and the community know that we love them, that we're at loving our neighbors. I think the community of Freshwater, like the authentic community that people talked about here, like in life groups and discipleships grew. I think they were stronger than they've ever been before. Our outreach team and the outreach we've done this year has never been stronger. And man, praise God for growth in all those areas. I think we're exactly where we need to be, exactly where God wants us to be going into this year. But now I think we're ready to take a huge, huge step forward in one particular area. Learning to boldly tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom in a non-forced, conversational, and personal way. And let me assure you, he's not here today, and that's too bad, but I'm not talking about what one of our members, Russ, calls headlocking people for Jesus. Right, where every time we start a conversation with someone, we're just trying to cram Jesus into there as fast as we can. Right, listen, that was the thing in the church. Cram it in and then put your hand on them and get them to say the prayer of salvation as fast as you can so you can move on to the next person. That was the church, for a while. And I am not talking about that. Guys, you guys said that you love this church because of the community here, right? Authentic community and the openness here, and that it was okay to not be okay, basically, and that we preach the truth of the gospel, and that this is a family, and that this is a place where people can come find hope, and it's like all of those things. I love all those things too. But church, let me ask you, what is the answer for people actually seeking community, despite their background, despite where they've been, despite how broken they are? What's the answer to that? Jesus Christ and his church. Right? What's the answer to someone who doesn't have a family and they need someone to love them and engage in their life, but they don't have anybody, right? What's the answer for that? Jesus Christ in his church. What's the answer for people who have lost hope and they don't know where to go and there's something inside of them that wants something more and they don't know what that thing is and they don't know where to go? What is the answer to that? Jesus Christ and his church. So I said before, man, neighbors helping neighbors and block parties and doing community events and loving Williams Elementary and helping people who are in need, they're all fantastic things. The things that we need to do, there's things that we should do, the things that are at the heart of what we do here, but they are not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And here's the truth. I think virtually every person in this room believes that. I think most of us actually believe that. I think most of us in this room want to be able to share Jesus with someone in a way that's not awkward or weird or forced, but we feel like we don't know how, or we're not prepared enough, and we don't know what to say, and we don't know how to respond when people have questions. So listen, so we're afraid. Does anybody feel that? Are you afraid? Like as I just said earlier, I wasn't always a pastor. Like just because I'm a pastor, I've been a pastor for 5 or 6 years, but I was you, right? I was you before. I understand the feeling. I know what it's like to be nervous and like, what am I going to say and how am I going to respond? What if I don't have the answer? I get it. I understand it. So here's the question. What are we going to do about that? Because keeping our mouths closed is not the answer. Remaining afraid is not the answer. It can't be. It can't be the answer. So what do we do? Well, you know what? Part of it is we just have to be willing to step up and step out of our comfort zone. Just look the fear in the face and step out, trusting the glory of God and having faith. That's right. We just have to step up and step out. But the other part of that is, as a church, we want to equip you. We want to empower you to do this next year in a very intentional, relational way. As Ephesians 4 says, as leaders, it is our job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We want to equip you to do the work of the ministry. So that's what we want to do this year. How are we going to do it? We got the what. What's the how? Well, I don't have time to give you all the details, but here's 6 things we're going to do this year. You ready for it? I'm going to go through them quickly. 6 things we're going to do to empower you to do this. One, this year, we're going to put a focus on it in life groups. Right, so normally in life groups, if you're not a part of life groups here, our small groups, we follow the sermons, right? In the sermon, I'll have 5, 6 questions that are all, every question has 6 different parts to it, but anyway, 4, 5, 6 questions, and then we'll ask those and we'll learn how to live this thing out in real life. And it's great, because you can hear a message on Sunday morning and then leave here and not really know what to do with it. And so in life groups, we get together as a family and try to figure out, how do I do this in real life when life's hard? Because life is hard. It's hard to learn to do this in real life, and you're not supposed to do it alone. This is not our community church, your life group, your discipleship relationships. That's your real community. Because we can't really be a family here, not really. It's in your life group. So if you're not in a life group, get in one. It's the heart of what we do. But we're going to take a break from following the sermon for a while, and for 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to push each other to grow, and we're going to encourage each other, and we're going to share ideas, and we're going to figure out stories, and we're going to just learn how to do this together to help equip each other, because that's what Community of Christ is supposed to be. So we're going to put a focus on it in life groups. 2, I'm going to focus on it in preaching, me and the other pastors. Now, not every sermon is going to be about evangelism. That's not what I mean. But I'm going to focus many of my sermons about how to communicate the truths that you're hearing in the Bible in a real way. Right, so it's not just, we're not talking about presentations. We want you to have a conversation with someone, but how does that mold and shape? So I'm going to push you to evangelize. I'm going to push what God is saying, and we're going to try to shape our messages, at least some, to empower you to do that. 3rd thing we're going to do is we're going to have training. We're actually going to have some training. We're going to have a safe place for you to go where you can hear other people share the gospel, where you can watch other people like share the gospel, and a place where you might be able to actually practice it, like verbalize some of the stuff that you want to say when people say certain things to you, right? It'll be a place where you can kind of learn to have that, like I said, that non-threatening, conversational, personal conversation with someone where Jesus can fit into that conversation and it doesn't feel forced. Because I can't derail. I don't have time for it. But let me just say this. Like, is Jesus the most important thing in your life? You're at church, you're supposed to say yes. He may not be, right, for a lot of us. We want him to be, and he actually is two different things. Like, better is a moment that I spend with you than a million other years or whatever days away. Does anybody actually believe that? Does anybody actually live that? Better is spending a moment with Christ than anything else in the world. Like, sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's not. Right? And so what we want to do in this training is get you closer and closer with, we're going to be focusing on the gospel. So like Jesus is swelling in you more and more and more to get to the point where when you're having conversations with people, it's not a forced thing. It's that you can't help but talk about it because Jesus is just a part of your life. Right? It's not weird for me to talk about when people say, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pastor. They know what I do. That makes an easy transition for me. But like, even before I became a pastor, when people would ask me about my life, like Jesus and our church had to factor in because it was the number one thing other than my personal relationship with God. Our church was the number one thing in my life other than my God, family, church. It had to come up. But we're afraid. So we just want to empower you to speak about the things that should be coming out of your mouth anyway because it's already a part of your life because God is overflowing out of you. Does that make sense? So really, that's all the training is going to be doing, is try to equip you to talk about the things that are already in you, that already matter to you, that are already your stories that you can share with other people, and you can practice those things, and you can be empowered and equipped to think about it that way. So training, number three. Number four, we're going to ask some of you in this room today to be evangelism mentors. So here's what these mentors are going to do. They might help lead some of these evangelism classes and be some of the examples so people can look to. But then we want these evangelism mentors to take a few people underneath their wing at community events. And we want you to follow them around. People like Denny. Right? Follow. Denny has three or four people with him. And maybe he doesn't take them all at once because he don't want to overwhelm people, right? But he takes the person with him. And Denny just goes and starts a conversation with someone. Hey, and listen, maybe that conversation goes to Jesus Christ in the church. And maybe it doesn't. Because he's not going to force it, but he's going to be intentional, right? It's going to be intentional, but not force it. And so you can hear Denny have that conversation. And you can listen to how he kind of seamlessly, when Denny talks to people, because Jesus is the number one thing in his life, how it just kind of comes out sometimes. And then they start a conversation. And you can hear that, and you can listen to that, and you can learn from that. Do you know, like, I had a deep conversation at Cookies and Cocoa with Santa with a lady about Jesus Christ. You know how? I said, you know, I don't know where you are with God, so if this is offensive to you or you don't want this, it's no problem. But, man, you've got a lot going on, and in my life, I don't know how to handle those things. I only thing I've got is prayer. So would you mind if I pray for you? It's okay if you don't want me to, but I'd like to. Is it okay? And she's like, I would love it if you would pray for me. I was like, okay, what do you want me to pray? Whoosh. And it all came out. Does it always work that way? No. But it works that way way more than you think it would. And she went on for 10 minutes. There's 150 people around us. We're sitting at a table, and she's telling me about everything in her life and how she wants to come back to the church, but she feels like it's fake, and she doesn't want it to show up, but she wants it for her kids, but she doesn't want to just want it for her kids. She wants it to mean something, and she's been hurt by the church and all of these things. And we end up praying together, right? Just because I was willing to say, hey, it wasn't even awkward. Hey, do you mind? Like, this is what it is for me, but it might not be for you. Do you care if I pray for you? And then boom. And if you could hear things like that and see how it plays out, and it's not weird, and it's not awkward, and it's not that hard, then you feel like, I can do that. And then the evangelism mentors are going to flip that on their head. And then as we go through the year, you're going to start those conversations, and they're going to be with you. And if you get kind of caught in the conversation, they can interject and help out the conversation to keep going. Does this make sense? We want to empower you, and it's not going to just happen. You've got to go do it, and we want to give you as much help as we can, but in the end, you have to step up. You have to step out, but we want to empower you to do that. So four is evangelism mentors. Five, a huge, huge difference we're going to do this year is we're going to plan our events, and outreach team has heard this. We're going to plan events so that the last 30 minutes, we are not still putting everything together for the event. The last 30 minutes, we're going to be focused on prayer, and we're going to be focused on worshiping. Because listen, we can give you all the training and evangelism mentors and teach you to say all the right things, but if God's Spirit's not stirring within you, then you're probably not going to open your mouth anyway. It's God that saves. It's God that's really going to motivate you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to get you to open your mouth when you hear that voice in the back of your head saying, say this, and you're too afraid. But if you just got done worshiping God and praying, and your pastors and leaders have prayed over you, and your heart has been stirred, you're much more likely to open your mouth and share, because God is stirring in you, speaking, saying, talk, open your mouth. They need hope. They need the answer. They need the truth. Don't stop. You can do this. You can do this. And you can. I didn't plan on saying this. Javi, I'm sorry. I see Javi over there nodding his head. Man, we said, Javi, you're going on a mission trip with us. And he's like, what? And you're going to share your testimony. And he's like, what? And you're going to share the gospel. And he's like, what? And you know what? Javi did all of those things and he nailed it. Because the Holy Spirit was stirring inside of him, and he just said yes. And it was beautiful. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of Javi. He doesn't need all these extra things, because God's enough. He doesn't have to have all the right answers. Because God uses our terrible answers, and he uses our perfect answers, because he's enough. We don't save anyone. The Holy Spirit, through the power of the cross, by the plan of the Father, saves people. So we want to We want you to feel empowered by the Holy Spirit going into these events. And then sixth thing, last thing. Finally this year, we're going to build strong systems in all our ministries. So when we have events, when we have church in the park, when we do things with Williams, all the details will be worked out way ahead of time. Where we don't spend all the time trying to plan things and make sure everything's in place, all that's going to be done. So that can be done ahead of time. We can show up to the event, get it done quickly, and then we can focus on people. And we can focus on Jesus. Systems are not the answer. Jesus is the answer. But it'll help us get our minds on the right things so we're not focusing on the wrong things. Because I could keep going and going. But that's an overview of where we're going this year and why we're going there. We're going to do all the things we've done in the past, right? Community events and community engagement, all those, none of those things are new. Right? We're going to love our city well, but we're going to be much more intentional with how we approach it this year. You know, not very long ago, someone asked me, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to create with your ministry in Tom Watkins' neighborhood? Which, if you're new today, we're in Tom Watkins' neighborhood. It's the neighborhood that God called us to. We planted this church to be a neighborhood church for this community. And someone asked me, what are you trying to do? And I thought about it, and I wanted something more complicated, I think, but here's what it is. It's simple. We want God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. That's really it. Because that's the answer, God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. And here's what that means practically. We want Tom Watkins to be a place where people are coming to know Jesus. And through God's family, their relationship is growing daily. And through that, through their deepening relationship with Jesus, God is growing a people that seek justice and they seek truth and they have peace and they're learning to love their neighbors as themselves. In short, we want Tom Watkins to be a place where people love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. Does that sound familiar? We don't have to make it more complicated than that. That's what we want. That's what changes community. That's what increases Thanksgiving. That's what spreads the gospel of Christ. That's how people experience God's grace. So hear me on this, church. This year, healthy life groups and discipleship and good events like Trunk or Treat and Neighbors Helping Neighbors and helping and being for those in need and giving counseling and having awesome block parties, they're all fantastic things that we will do, that we need to do, that we should do, and are at the heart of what we do. But they're never going to be enough alone. They are never going alone. They're never going to be enough. Without Jesus, listen, this is, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Without Jesus Christ, there is no coming of the kingdom. Do you hear that? If we're not talking about Jesus, there is no coming of the kingdom. We don't bring the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ brings the kingdom of God. And so Jesus has to be at the heart of every single thing we do. Those things are good, but we have to be relentlessly chasing and proclaiming our Savior and our King in the process. We have to. So this year, all of us, including me, are going to take a huge step forward in this. This is where we're going. So let's be relentless this year. Let's be relentless, giving our all to make sure that we are proclaiming the one who opens the eyes of the blind. We are proclaiming the one who burns away the disease that are keeping people from seeing the radiance of God's glory. that we're proclaiming the one who is the answer to it all. And listen, that that's at the forefront of every single thing we do. Church, you want a New Year's resolution? Make it that you'll grow in your ability and your boldness to share the gospel freely this year. Not just that you can do it, that you'll share it freely. You'll share it freely. To be a people that are so in love with God and are so passionate about God's love for us, that we are so convinced that the only real answer for the blindness, for the disease that is all around us, is that the truth and the grace of God naturally pours out of us into the world around us. That's the answer. And that we are going to move forward. Church, I cannot wait. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this, what God's going to do with our church this year. Let's make 2018... Let's make this year the year that we stop hoping to get better about at sharing the gospel and become a people that can't wait, that can't help but share the gospel, because Jesus is everything in us and it has to pour out of us. That's what 2018 needs to be. Amen? Let's pray. God, it's never more apparent to me and apparent to so many people in this room that when we are trying to share the gospel, we learn how weak we are. We learn how ineffective we can be. We learn how powerless we can be. And so, God, I pray that you would change us, change our hearts, and realize that, yes, alone we are weak and we're broken and we have no hope, but in you, all authority has been given to us. God, help that truth to penetrate our hearts and our minds and our souls, and to wake us up to the blind that are around us, that are being blinded and have no way of knowing it, because the enemy is way more powerful than they could ever hope to be. Jesus, give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart where, Jesus, you said you'll leave the 99, the pack of 99 sheep to go get the one who got lost, because you love the one. God, help us to have a heart for the one. And then, God, give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us boldness to take huge steps forward this year. God, I think every person in this room has proven with our lives that on our own, we're not going to do this well. We're not going to do this enough. It's not going to be at the center. So, God, we need you to strengthen us, to empower us, to change us. God, I pray for change. I pray first and foremost, God, that we'd fall more and more and more in love with you. That there be more and more of our heart that just longs to spend with you and give you glory. But out of that, God, you would make it so that we cannot help but pour the grace that you've given us out of ourselves into others. God, I pray for that in our workplaces, amongst our families, amongst our friends. And God, I pray for that in Tom Watkins' neighborhood. God, Tom Watkins, you know it, I know it, needs a harvest. And God, the workers are right here, so prepare us. And give us the boldness to step out and do the work that you have given us. We know it's only by your power, because of the cross, because of your resurrection, because you're king, that this can even happen. So we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.